The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
We want to take this opportunity today to celebrate what I believe is the most sacrificial offices and positions in any municipality, and that is, of course, our elected officials and those that provide fire safety protection to the families of this community. I believe that the Bible instructs us that we are to pray for those that are in authority, that we are to pray for those that lead us in our communities. And that's our desire. And we want you all to know that that's what we do every week, pray for you. But it's especially a delight not only to just pray for them, but to have them here before us. And I think one more time, Church on the North Coast, we ought to give them a standing ovation of thank you for what you do for us. Thank you.
Amen. You can be seated. Great to have you all with us. You know, there was a little boy, the phone rang, a little boy answered the phone, and he said, hello? And the voice on the other end of the phone said, hi, is your mother or father there? He said, yeah, they're here, but they can't come to the phone right now. He said, well, is there an adult there that I could talk to? He said, yeah, the police are here. He said, the police are there. He said, was there anybody else that I could talk? He said, well, the firemen are here too. He said, the police and the firemen are at your house? Is everything okay? He said, what are they doing there? He said, they're looking for me. Amen. How many first-time guests do we have in the house this morning? If you're a first-time guest of Church on the North Coast, could you just lift your hand? Amen. Right now, we are going to come and put a gift in your hand. Our friendship team is coming to the aisles. We'd like to put a gift in your hand, a welcome gift. We really have been praying and looking for you, and we're glad that you're here with us to visit today. Hold your hand up real high, and the rest of the church, could we give them a great big welcome and a God bless you? Amen. Amen. We're glad that you're here this morning. In the foyer, at the reception table, you're going to see these baby bottles that are sitting on the counter out there. They are for your use to take home if you would like. They're the Crisis Pregnancy Center. It's a fundraiser for them. We ask you to take these baby bottles home and just continue to fill it with your change. Put the lid back on it. When you fill it up, bring it back. We'll give that directly to them. It's a way of us saying, hey, we support you in what you do. They rescue ladies that are in trouble with their marriage and their pregnancies. And so we ask you to do that. It's a fundraiser for them. Also, Brother Kane Jackson, a young man that just moved here out of Bible college, Crystal Tackett, that sings worship in the first service, her brother, his name is Kane. They're moving here. They got a house in Elyria, and they need help moving. And if you would like to help, they need today, right after the service, they're moving on 5th Street between Middle Avenue and West Avenue in Elyria. If I could get like four or five guys that would say, hey, give me one of those flyers. You can see me right after the service. Let me put this in your hand just to help him get his truck unloaded. He said he only needed a couple guys, so four or five guys could show up and help him move in. That'd be a great help to them. I know that'd be a great blessing. Also, many of you know we sponsor on 28th Street a building called the Love Center. It's an area which we give out food to families that are in need in the city of Lorain. This Thursday, they're in need of some workers, some volunteers that can help. Normally, they handle it all themselves, but we've got some staffing that are going to be gone out of town. So Thursday at 11 o'clock, they need you on 28th Street at the Love Center. If you're able at all to go serve, that'd be a great blessing to go and help them to serve. Amen? And right now, Minister Troy Thompson is coming. Give Minister Troy a great big hand as he comes.
Well, good morning, Church on the North Coast. How are you, Church? How's the family of God doing today? Terrific. Right now, I want to bring to the platform. But before I do that, let's do this. Let's pray for the Cavs. Amen. Father, if you just give the Cavs one more win. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, it is my very special privilege to bring to the platform today a wonderful, wonderful voice for the Lord, Miss Sandra. Miss Sandra Withrow. Would you put your hands together for Miss Sandra this morning?
It's all a mystery. Time and time again I ask myself, what have I done to deserve such wealth? The price you paid, I could never repay. Your generosity in wanting to save me, in order to save the day. Because of love you place yourself in harm's way. It's truly beyond me, left without a word to say. Because of love you place yourself in harm's way. What kind of love would place itself harm's way? When I was down, you came and lifted me. When I was bound, oh, you set me free. Things that you do, it makes it clear to see. It's all the Master's plan. No greater love that I come to know. And when I refuse, you still love. You came and rescued me, and erased all the pain, in wanting to save me, in order to save the day. Because of love, you place yourself in harm's way. It's truly beyond. What kind of love would place itself in harm's way? What kind of love would place itself and risk its life for love's sake? What kind of love just takes on all the blame? It seems to be that you would put yourself in harm's way for me, in harm's way, in harm's way. And I thank you. I thank you very much. Thank you.
Amen, church. I'd like to share a story with you this morning as we prepare to take this morning's tithe and offering. How many in the last couple of weeks have heard the story of the lost hikers who survived thanks to a pack belonging to a missing man? Have you heard that story? Amen. Well, when I heard that story, I was reminded of the story of Joseph and how Joseph was a type of Christ. But let me read it to you if you haven't heard it. Let me read it to you. It says, two lost hikers were missing for 3 nights are okay, thanks to a man who vanished a year ago in some Southern California mountains, or rather to what he left behind. Rescuers found Brandon Day and Gina Allen yesterday morning after spotting smoke from a fire. Day had started it with matches found in the backpack of a man who disappeared while hiking last May. John Donovan has never been found. His backpack provided the couple with food and heavy clothing, in addition to the matches. A Riverside County Sheriff's official says researchers will now try to find his body. A longtime friend says even in death, Donovan was helping people. Amen. And when I heard that story, you know, I was reminded, like I say, of Joseph and how he was sent to preserve a posterity, and how what he did saved his family when they were in famine, and how he was the type of Christ. And I was reminded of how I was rescued when I needed it, when somebody brought the light of the gospel to my darkened soul. I needed that. And somebody left a backpack for me. It was about 10 or 12 years ago, I stepped foot on a trip to hell camp, and it was dark that night. It was dark outside, and it was dark inside of me, and somebody found me, and somebody found me because of your giving. Somebody found me. Somebody ran across the parking lot, shook my hand, and said, you know what? I know God has something special for you to do. And sowed light into my life, and I've never been the same since that time. And it was all because of the giving that every one of you provided. You know, we tend to think that this isn't a big deal, but it really is. You know, it has a way of penetrating darkness, every dollar you give. You know, I spent the day yesterday with the inner city ministry. I went and I sat, and there was this young boy. He's in my wife's class. She's a teacher. How many of you know that now? And she's a preacher too. You know that too, don't you? Pastor Rebecca. But you know, this little boy, he is just, you know, I said in the earlier story, he's like hell on shoes. I mean, this kid, he's just a rough one, you know, and I thought about what he'd look like years from now. You know, one day I can envision him, you know, after we're long gone, you know, not gonna live forever. But one day we'll look over the balcony of heaven and we'll look down upon that young boy. And one day when he needs it, he'll dig into the corner of his heart, into the closet of his heart, and he'll find the gospel of Jesus Christ that was provided by every dollar you gave. You see, it's more than just money. You're providing a backpack for those who need it. You see, they didn't know that backpack was there. That man died and he left his backpack there and all the clothing. And these campers who were in need just happened to stumble upon it. This morning, that's what we do when we give. We allow the light of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ to penetrate darkness in this region and in our families. Amen? Amen. You know, we believe in tithing here at Church on the North Coast. We believe it's in the Bible. And if you don't believe in that, you should read your Bible and find it, because it's in there. And the tithe is 10% of your increase, and the offering is anything above that. And we encourage you to do that as well. Let's pray for our offering this morning. Father, let's hold it up before the Lord and bless it. Father, we bless you this morning with this offering. We pray that it would go now and increase your kingdom. We pray that lives would be changed and transformed. Lord, that darkened hearts would be lit up with the matches from heaven. We give you glory and honor this morning for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the face.
That's our way of introducing to you the city of Vermilion, one of the wonderful cities that surround our community. And it's my pleasure at this time to introduce to you and also to present an award to Mayor Gene Anderson, who was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota, and graduating from Denfield High School, studying psychology and education in college, and moving to Lorain County in 1976, moving into Vermilion in the year 2000, became very involved in the community, and just recently, in January of 2006, elected the mayor of Vermilion. Would you please welcome with me to Church on the North Coast, Mayor Gene Anderson. On behalf of Church on the North Coast, we'd like to present this award to you. It reads, Celebrating Sacrifices 2006. Church on the North Coast recognizes the City of Vermilion and its leaders for their sacrifice and faithful service to the betterment of our community. Mayor, on behalf of our church, we'd like to present that to you and your city.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Would you like for us to hold it while you speak?
I would like that.
Thank you.
All right. Good morning. On January 1st, 2006, I began my first term as mayor of Vermilion. On January 2nd, around 5 p.m., a little boy was crushed by a falling rock while playing on the bank of Lake Erie. It was a dark, cold evening, and while I was leaving my office to stop home, change, and get a bite to eat and head to my very first council meeting, I got a call on my cell phone from our fire chief informing me of this tragedy. I immediately went to the location. The fire department and police department had been there doing their jobs, and as mayor, I felt comforted, strong, and secure with their abilities. Tragedies are extremely difficult for everyone, for families and friends, for a mayor who feels the pain, and let us not think for one moment that the individuals who serve in our fire and police departments and who do their very best in life's most difficult situations do not feel the grief and sorrow in the depths of their souls. They are people too. They rise above the pain of the moment and I believe receive a measure of grace and empowerment from our God to do what they do with strength and courage. We are blessed because we can lean on their abilities. Today, we have been invited to participate in the first annual Celebrating Sacrifice Day at the Church on the North Coast to collectively express our appreciation for those who serve to keep us safe. Our firemen run into the burning building as we run out, and our policemen enforce our laws and place themselves in harm's way to keep us living free from fear. In our safety forces, we get a glimpse of our Heavenly Father. Isaiah 41:13 says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And as God asks that we reside in the hollow of his hand, we take comfort because God's hand is extended to us in a real, practical way through our safety forces. in an earthly way, they become the hollow of God's hand. We transfer this earthly relationship to our personal relationship with our loving God, knowing that our true eternal protection does not come from human institutions, but the Spirit of God assures us that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil when we walk with Him. As Jesus laid down His life so that we may never die, our police and firemen lay their lives on the line every day. Someone once said that you give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. A little poem written by Roger Hancock says, "Nothing is ever free, though to you it be. Somewhere, somehow, someone paid." Today we are saying to the world that they truly give, and we appreciate them. We thank them, and as they provide for our earthly safety, we in turn pray that God will watch over them, keep them safe, and bless them in their lives. This past Thursday in Vermilion, we paused to honor and remember those who served and sacrificed all they had. Every day, their loved ones go to their jobs while their families pray for their safe return. And we are taking some time today to acknowledge this and say thank you. If I may close with this Irish blessing, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of His hand. The hollow of God's hand is the best place to be. Thank you.
This old train breaks down, then I could take a walk around, see what there is to see. Time is just a melody, with all the people in the street walking fast as the feet can take, I might just roll through town. And though my window's got a view, well, the frame I'm looking through seems to have no concern for now. So for now,
it is our pleasure to welcome the Church on the North Coast today, Mayor David Taylor from Amherst, lifelong resident of Amherst, Ohio, graduating from Bowling Green State University and really serving on the Amherst City Council for two terms and employed as the city's service safety service director for over 10 years. Retired from TRW Nelson Stud Welding Production after 37 years of service as a production superintendent. Church on the North Coast, please welcome with me to the platform today, Mayor David Taylor. We'd like to present this to you today, Mayor Taylor, on behalf of Church on the North Coast, for your faithful sacrifice to the city and the surrounding communities.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to thank the Church of the North Coast for inviting me and my representatives to our safety forces to be part of the first annual Celebrating Sacrifice Day. It's a privilege for us to be here. 911. What are the expectations of the people calling? When that call comes in, their expectations are they want professional, qualified individual that can call for their help and someone that will respond in an expeditious manner. This includes the dispatcher who receives the initial call to the police officer, the first responder, or the firefighter who answers and responds that call expeditiously. We are all very fortunate to have these professional, dedicated, and qualified personnel to serve us. Specifically in Amherst, we have a first-class police department who are well-trained and well-equipped under the direction of Police Chief Lonnie Dillon. We pride ourselves on being a safe and secure community because of our police department. Our fire department, headed by full-time Fire Chief Wayne Nordheim, is a paid part-time department. They not only serve the city of Amherst, but part of Amherst Township and portions of the Ohio Turnpike. With our part-time fire department, there are other things that come into view, such, for instance, being part-time, we have low insurance rates, which also help all of us and face us in Amherst. Also, we enjoy the fact that they are well-trained, well-equipped, and staffed with a group of dedicated and qualified part-time fire departments. We recognize the potential dangers and hazards each of these individuals face when called upon. We appreciate the fact that they encounter potential dangers on a daily basis, and they know they face those dangers every day. Amherst residents can rest assured that they are well protected and thank the efforts of all these safety forces, not only in the city of Amherst, but Vermilion and Lorain, and all over the county, the state, and the country. Today we salute all police and fire personnel who are committed in making our lives safer. Thank you.
Saving our stars I saw a woman anxiously with tears run to his side, praying he would be all right. But then shouts of joy resounded loud, as a voice so clear gently said, I love you, dear, and I'll be home. Encouraging word, but with courage, strength.
gives me great pleasure to acknowledge this morning a number of individuals that are present with us that are not going to actually come to the platform. First of all, I wanted to say a welcome to our Service Safety Director, Craig Miller. It's great to have you here today. Great to have you here. Also, one of our esteemed members, as well as esteemed councilmen in our City Council of Lorain, Eddie Edwards, representing the 4th Ward. Very glad that you're here today too, sir. It gives me great pleasure at this time to be able to present this award, as well as to introduce the mayor of the City of Lorain. Craig Fulton is not a stranger to us, a graduate of Ohio. Well, you're going to come up here with me already.
Sorry.
That's all right. Oh, that's all right. Stay right here, sir. Graduate of Ohio State University, and we've got all this written down, so we're going to go ahead and say it anyway. Received both his master's and doctorate degrees in business administration from Cleveland State. Served as the auditor for the City of Lorain from 93 through 99. Elected as the mayor of our city in 2002, and currently is running for the 13th District's congressional position. Please, with me, Church on the North Coast, welcome Mayor Craig Fulton. We'd like to also present this award to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if I want to give this up.
We'll give it to you afterwards.
Well, thank you very much. I got a little excited. You know, that's a pretty nice award there. You know, speaking for myself, and I think I could say the same with Fire Chief Tom Brown and Police Chief Saul Rivera here. You know, we get a lot of complaints. And we're not used to this. It's very nice. When we were brought up on stage and all of you were standing and applauding, I got goosebumps. It was very humbling. I thank you very much. And Pastor, if I may get off the message just for a minute here, I want to say personal thanks to you and to each and every one of you in here for your support, leadership, and strength in supporting the city and myself in the creation of the city's largest and best retail project across the street. Thank you. You know, it was not an easy thing to have done, and believe me, with you guys sitting in the council chambers and the audience writing the letters to the editor, it meant the difference, and now we get to actually shop in our own city. Thank you. So, getting back on to message, you know, the safety forces, you know, you really don't realize what they do until you need them. You know, my mom, first time in 38 years, 40 years living on day drive, yesterday had to call the fire department. Her stove, the gas line broke and the flames were coming out of there. And, you know, she's getting up there in years and was very shaken by this. But these guys, you know, bam, took it out in no time and solved the problem. You know, for 40 years, didn't think about the fire department, but that one time you need it, you know, it's going to make all the difference in the world. And some of the things that these guys do, Tom Brown, the fire chief, who is also a friend of mine and has been serving in the department, geez, since right out of high school. I remember a few of the stories he's told me of going in and rescuing people, you know, crawling on your hands and knees and then pulling out a body and saving a life. You know, again, those types of things doesn't happen on a daily basis, but boy, it makes the difference, all the difference in the world. And I feel very comfortable with the two guys sitting behind me and the job our police and fire department do. And in all due respect to my fellow mayors, I think our Lorain Police Department has a little tougher task than that in Vermilion and Amherst. I mean, no taking away from what their men and women do, but Lorain's a whole different ball game. And you have to really be a different breed and a different kind of guy to be serving in the city of Lorain. And
there's some tough cookies there, and I take some great exception when, you know, I see some hits in the paper or people call me criticizing. I mean, these guys, you know, have their hands full, and I think they're keeping up with that and doing a hell of a job. Excuse me for my language, but I get a little impassioned sometimes, too. But, you know, I better give up this mic before I really get into trouble. No, but, you know, I could go on, but, you know, it means a lot. As I said, we get a lot of complaints. I get a lot of people coming to my office, pounding their fists on the table, and when you guys, again, when you stood up there, man, they ask, a lot of people ask, why do you do it? Why are you the mayor? You know, it's a lot of headaches and griefs. Well, I'll tell you, moments like today make it all worthwhile. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's great. We use that term in the church often. We often say hell. But we're trying to keep people out of there. That's our job. Once again, for all of our mayors, let's give them a hand round of applause. You can be seated. At this time, we'd like to present an award to the Chief Robert Kish of the Vermilion Police Department, who is not here today because of a previous engagement, but Officer Holmes is here in his stead. So, Officer Holmes, would you kindly join us on the platform? And we'd like to present this award to you, sir. It reads, Vermilion Police Department Celebrating Sacrifice 2006. Thank you for your sacrifice and your dedication.
Thank you.
God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. Also, we'd like to ask Chief Gene Croft, Vermilion Fire Department, as well, but he is not here, unable to attend due to a previous engagement. But on his behalf, Mayor Anderson will accept this award, and we'd like to present this, Mayor. Vermilion Fire Department Celebrating Sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice and your dedication. Thank you so much. God bless you. All right. At this time, also not here, Chief Lonnie Dillon from the Amherst Police Department, but Officer Mike, is it Rosenbeck? Am I saying that correct? Or Rosebeck? Rosebeck, here he is. All right. He's going to accept the award on his behalf, sir. Again, Amherst Fire Department, Police Department. You get the wrong one, man. He doesn't look like a fireman.
There you go.
You of all people should know what a policeman looks like. Right? Anyway, Amherst Police Department Celebrating Sacrifice 2006. Thank you, sir, for your sacrifice and your dedication and all of your comrades. All right? Bless you. At this time, I got thrown off on that one. Chief Wayne Northam is not here. Is that correct? He is here. My mistake is I just got thrown off of that last one. Chief Wayne Northam is here from the Amherst Fire Department, accepting his award on behalf of the entire Amherst Fire Department. This time, sir, we'd like to offer this to you. It says, celebrating sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice and dedication and your entire staff. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. At this time, we'd like to ask Chief Sel Rivera from the Lorain Police Department to come and accept his reward on behalf of all the Lorain policemen. Thank you so much. This really means a lot to us that you're here today. And thank you for keeping our city safe and secure. Appreciate that. All right. Also, Chief Thomas Brown from the Lorain Fire Department accepting his award on behalf of the LFD. And he's also going to share a story as soon as we give him his award that I believe is going to be very impactful. Thank you, Chief Brown. Appreciate that so much.
Good morning, everybody. I a little mad at Minister Troy for stealing my thunder. I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about this morning. I figured you start out with the Cavs and everybody's going to be happy. So we'll just echo what Minister Troy said. I'm very proud to be here on behalf of the Lorain Fire Department and serve the city of Lorain. You guys do a great thing in our community, and we're proud to have you here. And I want to thank your videographers. They really made our city look great, and the other cities. They did a great job, and a lot of nice footage they came to the department, and we're glad to help them, and the results were just wonderful. I'm very proud to have some of my members of the Lorain Fire Department here. If they want to stand up real quick, I'm going to embarrass them a little bit. These guys do a great job. This is firefighter John George, his father Joe George, it's a family affair, and Frank Griffith. Obviously, we're very proud of what those guys do every day, and in a way, today's thing is celebrating sacrifice, and I bet if you ask each of these guys after the service, they don't think of it as sacrifice, and I know that they'll say that. Each guy, you know, they get up in the morning, and they think of it's an honor to serve the city and do the job they do, and it's a love of what they do, and that's why they do it. So I guarantee each of those won't say there's a sacrifice, and they do sacrifice hours away from families, and we work 24 hours and that type of thing, but like I said, it's an honor for each and every one of us. The story that I have this morning is Joe is the gentleman, nice-looking gentleman in the dress uniform. Sitting next to him is Janet, his wife, and that's Uncle Joe and Aunt Janet. I'm related, so I've known them, you know, as long as I've been alive, so this is a little bit special for me, too. But everybody knows firefighters work 24 hours, and what a lot of people don't realize is, and this story is unique in a way, is you hear about different rescues that happen when guys are on duty. Joe happened to really help a citizen, Lorain, while he's off duty, and it just shows that they truly work 24 hours a day, all year long. We're always on call and that type of thing, but Joe was in the process of moving and heard a call in our neighborhood. We're both East Siders, and I got the call that there's a kitchen fire, and we had a handicapped resident that was stuck in a house. I hopped in my car, and as I'm pulling out the driveway, the fire trucks are coming by, so I arrived on the scene with the trucks, but you know, as you can tell, there's a lot of neighbors, and there's some chaos and everything, and all of a sudden, it's over. It's calm, and everybody's, I couldn't figure out what happened. Well, here's Joe's van in front of the pumper. He's there first. He pulls up, goes in, helps the handicapped person get out of the house, helps the family. They were very shook up, and there's a kitchen fire. But he's not done, because he passes the torch to Janet, who's a nurse, and she's helping the residents. So, you know, this is a dual award, in my opinion. They've always been a team, and again, they worked as a team, and everything we do is a team. But Joe's not done. He goes back in, and I guess what he sacrificed was his eyebrows, because he comes back out, and he's got no eyebrows because he's in there fighting a kitchen fire with no equipment, no hose, no anything. But he got the fire under control, and then the pumper goes in there and does the rest of the work. But it's just those little things and those little stories where people off duty are doing things, and they never really hang up the helmet, if you will. And I'm just real proud of Joe and what he did, and Janet, and we're real pleased to be here today. And I think you wanted to see Joe. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
At this time, we'd like to take a moment to remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. I was
Bow your heads with me. Our Father and our God, right now, we know that there are those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, that have laid their life down through either police duty or fire duty. And their families, and their friends, that take this moment now to remember them and their contribution to these communities over the years. Help us, O God, to be a church and to be a community and a citizen to remember for those that put their life on the line every day when we go about our business and not even conscious of their effort, to help us to remember to know that they're there. Thank you, Lord. Console their families and comfort and bring peace to them. And now, Lord, as we celebrate the rest of this honoring service, that we would take opportunity to say thank you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to present individual plaques and awards to the police and fire men and women that are here with us. And so we're going to ask them at this time to come from the Vermilion Police and Fire Department, Amherst Police and Fire Department, Lorain Police and Fire Department, to join us here on the steps. Probably the third step up, if you will. Please come and join us. We'd like to present an award to you. And also our own Adrian White, Elliot Silva, Myron Board, and Clarence Rivers, who are members of our church and serve also. Would you please come? Just stand across the aisle there, if you would. The police department is receiving this plaque that says, Celebrating Sacrifice. Church on the North Coast recognizes your faithful sacrifice and dedication to the safety and protection of our community. So each officer will receive one of those. And then for the fire department, it reads, Celebrating Sacrifice 2006, Church on the North Coast recognizes your faithful sacrifice and dedication to the safety and protection of our community. It has a helmet there and also a star on it. And so they'll receive those. And then we'd also like to ask at this time if you'll remain standing there, gentlemen, and our mayors and officials, would you come and please stand behind these officers? And then Church on the North Coast, would you please stand? Because we're going to have a prayer time for them. Our entire administration, police and fire representation that is here, and we just want to have a prayer time for them at this time. And their families, yes. Can we invite the families of those officers that are here? Please join your husbands. You're welcome to. All right. Church on the North Coast, extend a hand out to them. This is our tradition to extend a hand out to you in prayer. Now, in Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, it's with great understanding and great wisdom that we come, Father, because of the word of the Lord that is declared to us to pray for our officials and our government. Pray for those that are in authority. Lord God, we pray for every mayor, every safety service director represented and not here, or here. Father, for every police chief, here or not. For every fire chief, for every fireman. Father, for every policeman. Lord God, we extend our hands in faith. And we pray, Lord, protect them. Keep them safe. Give them wisdom from on high. For we know, Lord, that we are mere mortals. We are mere men and women. Father, we depend upon you and your grace. And I pray, Lord God, that there would be great grace upon the cities of Vermilion and Amherst and upon Lorain and our surrounding communities. Lord, today we as a church set one Sunday aside to say thank you. We can say thank you to you, O God, for our great salvation, but we can also say thank you for men and women who have stepped up to the plate to walk together in unity, to be a brotherhood, to form a community that says evil will not encroach here. That this damage and this hurt and this harm will not come here. That they stand in the place, O God, of our own very lives. Now, Lord, be with them on their shifts throughout the night, throughout the day. Be with them. Be with them in their offices as they make decisions, as they have to make split-second decisions. God, I pray that you would empower them with your Spirit. Lord God, that you, O Father, would see the glory of God in their life. Now, Lord, we pray for the city of Lorain. We pray for its economic revival. We pray, oh God, for its social revival, its family revival. But, Father, a spiritual revival. We pray for the city of Amherst as well. Lord God, that there would be a revival in that city. We thank you, Lord, for our mayor there. And we pray, oh God, that you would give him wisdom, grant him peace. I pray, oh God, for Vermilion, knowing that that community is so significant in the surrounding area. I pray, oh God, that we would work together, that there would be unity among the communities, and that we would be able to work together to bring the glory to to God that this would still be the number one location in the nation to raise a family and to worship freely and to be able to lie one's head on the bed at night knowing that we're at peace because of our safety forces are at work. For this we'll give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Give them one more round of applause, please. All right, you all may be seated. Thank you very much. We're going to put everybody else, you can take your seats at the front, please. And please get their awards to them, okay? I don't want the awards to stay up here. Now, I'm going to do something that I never do. I'm going to preach in 12 minutes. Is that all right? So we certainly don't want you to leave. We want you to stay by and listen to a great sermon. But before we get to the sermon, Mayor Fulton, I need to make an announcement. I don't know if you know this. You probably do already. You're, of course, the chief of our city. On Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon, I received the call from the developer, Tom Kaluris of Liberty Development Company. He called me in the middle of a staff meeting, and he said, I just want you to know, Lou. He said, we just closed on the deal. Home Depot signed all the papers. The 65 acres has been transferred, and it's done. Wow. Yes, done. Wow. Is that awesome? So you already knew that, I'm sure, but I didn't get a chance to tell our church. We're excited, and I can hardly wait to walk into one of those stores and look around watching people work and saying that maybe we had a little part in being able to have something to do with that kind of a economic revival in our region. We're going to employ over 1,000 people and bring over $120 million in retail sales a year. Bring lots of money for the schools and just bring some breathe some life into our community and the surrounding community as well. And I've been told by, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've been told by certain people that if you've been to Avon Commons, you haven't seen anything yet. It's going to have a lighthouse theme. It's going to have beautiful ponds. It's going to have a nautical theme. Not only that, but it's going to outmeasure by far the traffic volume that Avon Commons has experienced. It is going to bring people into the city, and we as a church get to be right across the street. So we're excited about that. Okay, I'm going to get right to the Bible. Somebody time me. It's only 12:15. I promise to have you out of here no later than 3 p.m. Are you ready? You've heard of long-winded politicians? Well, you're in trouble because now I'm a long-winded preacher. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 19. I just want to share a scripture with you. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 19. The Bible tells us there in that particular portion of scripture, Nehemiah writing, he says, "Oh my God, earnestly remember me for good for all I have done for this people. Earnestly remember me for good for all that I have done for this people." You know, I often hear from people, why should I get involved? Why should I stop and help them? What if they sue me? You know, today we're a community and we're a nation that operates under fear. Obviously, we have a lot of reasons for that. There have been repercussions of people who have been trying to offer good. And in the middle of it, I'm sure some of you police officers and firemen as well, walking into a situation trying to help somebody and you had become the object of their scorn. But why should we get involved? You know, why would Nehemiah get involved in rebuilding a burnout city? If you know anything about the history of Israel, at this time they were under captivity by Babylon. They had been conquered. Their city was utterly destroyed. The gates were burnt and the stone walls were caved in. And Nehemiah was now serving in the palace of the king of Babylon. He actually was a cupbearer. Think about that. He had a great cush job. He was in the royal presence of a king all the time. And yet something came to him. Some news came to him. Earlier, Mary Anderson said she received a call about a 5-year-old little boy. News comes to us abruptly. It interrupts our day, doesn't it? And it brings a startling realization of the reality of life's trauma. That's what happened to Nehemiah that day. An individual had come to him and said, "Look, I just got back from Jerusalem, and I want you to know that Jerusalem is in shambles. It is in ruins, and we need help. Let me tell you about it. He began to tell Nehemiah how scattered the people were, how difficult life had become, how the walls were unprotected, how the city had been broken down. And Nehemiah that night, the Bible said, he stayed up all night, couldn't sleep because of the turmoil in his own heart. He felt like he had to do something, but he didn't know what. He began to weep, he began to pray, he began to fast. And finally he made a decision, I'm going to get involved. You see, champions always get involved in crises. Champions don't run away, champions run too. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He went to his king and he said, listen, I need help. I need for you to send me to where the problems are. You know, today in society, we want to move away from where the problems are. We want to get on the other side of town or find a community where there are no problems. And then when we get there, we find out there's just as many problems there as there was when we were running away. I like what I heard earlier today as a testimony, our own minister, Claire Robinson, talking about an experience of her own, about how our own police department in the city of Lorain has not ignored some of the problems of her own area of her community, but actually worked with the citizens of that community. She said she could actually look out her door and see certain acts of crime happening, just looking out of the picture window. But today, already, she sees a change. Thank you, Chief Rivera. Thank you for running to the problem and not running away from the problem. Thank you for being able to understand the heart of a champion, the heart of Nehemiah, that we as a church ought not to run away from the problem, but ought to stay and change the situation. So that's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah ran to the problem. Listen to what one poet says, not by looking within, but by living without. This center of self, shall a man grow wise? Let us, leaving ourselves then, go boldly about and take part in the business of earth and skies. Nehemiah didn't have to get involved. His life was well organized, living in a palace, serving a king, but he made a decision. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we as a church, we as a community, we've got to get involved. We can't turn our heads the other direction. We can't act like there are people in trouble this morning in this community. We have to address the problems and we have to stand tall in the shadow of them and defeat them. I believe that when we do that, that's what's going to change our city. That's what's going to change this community. And we know that God has a great plan for each one of our lives. But what it takes is for people who have a sensitivity to hear. Jesus said so many times in the Bible, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I remember watching the Sago Mine, West Virginia tragedy, when it went from jubilation to utter horror. There they gathered in that little white paneled frame wood church. They were all gathering, hearing that the miners had survived. And they were all thankful and they were celebrating and sent out for pizza. And within hours, the real true story was told. Now 12 or perhaps all 13 men were dead. The rescuers were frantic. Whether it's in Pakistan or the earthquake or the tsunami, or whether it's in Katrina on our southern shores of New Orleans, it doesn't really matter. But when there's tragedy that strikes, those that are trained to rescue are there. But they are trained to listen. Listen for the cry, often the taps of those miners miles beneath the surface, communicating somewhere. They're trained to hear the cries of those that are in distress. And ladies and gentlemen, more than ever, as a church, as a Christian, we ought to be trained to hear the cries of those that are in distress. Just last night, I was watching a special on MSNBC of those that are incarcerated. And we saw recently a trial of one of those terrorists from 9/11 and how they were going to be locked up for 23 out of 24 hours of a day. And they were showing these men who had been incarcerated this way. And here they were, locked up into a cell. He said, well, I'm not in that particular area. I'm not down death row. I'm not a guard working there. It's not my husband. It's not my son. I'm removed from the situation. But you know what? In the middle of the night, there's cries that go out. And it's easy for us to say they deserve it. And sure they do. They're paying their time and they're paying the price for the crime that they committed. And rightly so. That's justice. But at the same time, their cry needs to be heard that someone, while they're in prison, would go visit them. Someone, while they're sick, would come and comfort them. Someone would hear the cry of those that are distressed and for those today that are in crises. And I want to say one more time, thank you, police and fire departments. Thank you, administration, that you've committed yourself to hear the cry. Because when I call 911, you don't ask me if I'm black or if I'm white. You don't qualify it. by asking me if I have insurance or I don't. You say, what's your emergency? And then you say to me, stay on the line. That's our cry. That's our commission. That's what we as a church are to provide for this community. Sure, we've got our own problems. Yeah, we've got our own life's challenges. But we've got to be trained to hear the cry of the crack addict. We need to hear the cry of the prostitute. We need to hear the cry of the unemployed. We need to hear the cry of the person who goes home alone every night because their spouse died prematurely and now they're a widower. Do you know what it's like to live alone? Do we know what it's like to be under miles of dirt beneath the surface, breathing your last breath? Do we know what it's like to have to shoot another needle up our arms, dependent upon crack cocaine addiction? Do we know what it's like? You say, well, they deserve it. They're the scum of the earth. No, wait a minute. They're crying inside that somebody would come and bring deliverance to them. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus did that. He heard our cry. That's what God did in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Israel in their history was under bondage to Egypt. And they had become a heavy taskmaster. And they began to cry out because of their oppression and the distress in their life. And the Bible said God heard their cry. That's exactly what we want to be as a Christian, is to hear the cry of the people around us, whether they're inner city kids at risk, whether they're a family living in the most posh neighborhood in the community or maybe the most challenged street in the city. It matters not. Everybody's got to cry. Whether you wear a suit to work or whether you wear blue jeans to work, it really doesn't matter. Whether you're male or whether you're female, old or young, all of us have a cry. And we've got to be trained to hear that particular cry. And God heard the cries of His people. And the Bible says in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 3, and God came down. You know, I like that. That gives me hope. That means that God's not afraid of my mess. And I think once someone already said it, might have been Mary Anderson, while many people are running out of the fire, firemen are running into the fire. I can't imagine what 9/11 was like. The horror, the frantic actions of so many beating upon others and climbing over top to get out. And there were those of the Port Authority and the police department trying to fight to get in. Are we fighting to get in? Are we fighting to get into the lives of this community? Are we fighting to get into the neighborhoods and to the people and to the children's lives who are crying out to us? You know, we've got to listen for the deep cry. Because on the surface, it may sound like they don't even want it. They may sound like they don't even need it. They're not even interested. But you know what? If you listen real deep, you listen real low and really pay attention, you're going to hear a cry of a thug that's 14 years old, been in and out of the juvenile detention center, and now he's got a police record, and you can say, well, he's going nowhere. There's a cry in there. You got to listen for the cry. And if you're a true rescuer, the only way that you can really hear the cry is to get the heart of God in your heart. See, the human heart won't hear that deep. The human heart won't go that low. You and I have to have a new heart. The Bible says through the prophet Ezekiel that God will give us a heart of flesh. And He'll take away the heart of stone. We as a society have become calloused and we become hardened to all of the injustices done to our lives and to those that commit them. But you know what? God still forgives. God still has a plan of restoration for the hardened criminal on death row or for those that are committing the white-collar crime from Enron. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. God has a plan for your life. And yet we, as those who would rescue, have to have the ability to hear beneath the surface. Nehemiah in chapter 5 and verse 7 had the courage to confront and expose those that were causing the injustice. That's what we need today. And that's what I see when a policeman comes to an altercation. He stands in the midst and he challenges the oppressor and protects the oppressed. That's what God has done for us. Sin was oppressing us. Every man who was born in sin, no matter how good we are, no matter how many times we went to church, that's not the remedy. That's not God's plan. It's to receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's the remedy. And when we do, we get that new heart. We'll be able to hear beneath the surface. And God gives us the courage to confront injustice. For the last 15 years, we have brought children of crises into our church every Saturday. And we're not looking for a pat on the back. It's just what we do. We go into some of the regions of our city and bust them in. And yesterday they were here and they were eating hot dogs and we taught them a story. And some of those kids are tough. They're 5 years old and they'll cuss you out. I don't know how many times my wife's been beat up on the bus by a seven-year-old. Spit upon, stolen her purse. But you know what? We're not listening on the surface. We're listening beneath the surface. Because inside that little boy of 7 years of anger is because there's been injustice served to him, and nobody will stand with courage to give him justice. He just wants somebody to say, that's mine, and they're taking it away from me. No one's here to tuck me in at bed tonight. No one's here to give me the food that I want, and somebody just stole it that I got. Somebody, they want somebody to defend them. And when they find somebody to defend them, the love of God begins to come. You see, what we've got to do is become more sensitive to those that are being oppressed. Jesus said to have courage and stand against them. And that's what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah went to the nobles and the princes and the kings of that region. You know what they were doing? Already Israel was beaten down. They were extracting from them super duper interest. They were extracting from them payment of their own children for their debt. Can you imagine having to give one of your children for the debt that you owe? And Nehemiah said, wait a minute, stop this injustice. And he faced the oppressor with courage. Where's our courage today, church? Where is our courage? Where is our hearts? That's why we want to celebrate the sacrifice today. Some of the most courageous men and women that I have ever seen in my entire life sit here with us this morning as our guests. And that's in the natural. How much more should we join their force? How much more as a Christian body should we become as courageous to stand up against the injustices of society that is beating people down? And secondly, unselfishness. You know, it has its price. Little or no thought is given to the cost of those that rush into a fire or rush to an accident scene or domestic altercation or some other very, very serious situation. They're not thinking about what they're going to lose. They're thinking about what they can preserve. It's a focus change. It's sort of like the Secret Service. When a shot is fired, they're trained to stand up. The rest of us are trained to duck. It takes an act of will to change one's pattern of thought. Unselfish giving. You have given so much in this church over the last years that I have been here. You sacrificially give. And often people ask, oh, wow, how does this church get all this money? Where does it come from? Well, I have to tell you, Mayor Fulton has never sent me a check. City Council has never awarded us a grant. As a matter of fact, when we've asked about it, they say we can't because there's a separation of church and state. Let me put that plug in there. But we're doing the same work, Mayor. I know, but you're a church. That's all right. But the people gave. Because you sacrifice and you give. And I want to celebrate your sacrifice today. Over the years, multi-millions of dollars have come from hard, ordinary working people who come to the house of God and say, you know what? I've got the courage to stand against the oppressor. I've got the willingness to sacrifice and to be unselfish and to give so that they might receive their deliverance. And finally, it takes a thoroughness. I never quite understood firework. You firemen are a strange breed. I can say that because my brother-in-law is a fireman. He worked for the Lorain City Fire Department for years and fell off ladders numbers of times, busted both knees, had them replaced two or three times. He walks now with canes and he can hardly get around, but you know what? He loves the fire department. But I never understood why when there's a fire and it appears to be out to me, why do you keep putting water on it? It's like, okay, it's out. Go home. And then they take axes out and they beat up your roof. I'm not sure that they don't have something in cahoots with the roof builders or something, you know? They put holes in your roof. But there's a method. There's a purpose behind it. Because they're thorough. They're looking for every little spark that might be underlying in the shingle. Maybe hidden in the timbers of the roof in regards to the attic, maybe down the wall, maybe an electrical spark is still going off. You see, they refuse to leave the scene until they're thoroughly convinced there's no chance of any further harm or injury. You see, that's what God did for me. That's what Christ will do for you. You see, we were all born with issues and sin. We've all had problems. If I could tell you all of mine, you'd be quite entertained. It could make an NBC miniseries special. Be very entertaining. So would yours. A young man that I'm going to ask to come right now, he and his wife are going to meet me on this platform. They're going to sing a song for us in just a moment. Spent 6 years, I believe it was, in prison. Is that right? Or in jail? God touched his heart. Amen. And you know, while everybody said, it'll never last, it'll never work, he's just another thug, God had a thorough work. You see, God doesn't leave the scene until the fire's out. And I want you to know, every one of us in this room this morning, if you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God will not leave your life until the fires of hell. That's when we use that term. I thought that was great. Are fully extinguished.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.